Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. Taking it up to 1230 as we take you around the DMV here on this Saturday afternoon. Simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980 as well. So plenty of different ways to get us as you drive around the DMV. I got to stop saying that, because if you're a smart person out there, you're probably not driving around the DMV. Well, not driving around D.C. at least, because of what's going on downtown. And I won't give it too much time, too much credence, but just know I'm not even going to get into it. A lot more to get to, though, as we take you up to 1230. Nats baseball comes your way at that time. Game 2 of a weekend series with the Miami Marlins. Nats 11-9 losers last night. 2-hour and 14-minute rain delay. That's – if you were there last night out at the ballpark and you waited that out, kudos to you. A little extra motivation to wait it out is the fact that you got to – sit and watch Nelly after the game was over. Wonder how Nelly felt about it. Because the rain delay impacts him as well. The Nats have done this. The Wizards have done this. Are the Commanders going to get in on this?
I wonder if he took a shot at Shakira.
If he took a shot at Shakira.
Remember she canceled her recent show at Nats Park?
Oh, you're saying
and
like
the mayor came out and said Shakira should have played. It was like a whole thing.
I mean, Shakira was doing this at other venues as well, though. So it wasn't just – it was the – D.C. couldn't build her stage properly.
Well, no, I think there's an issue. She had played Boston, I think, a day or two before, and they couldn't tear the stage down fast enough there. That was the real issue. They couldn't break it down fast enough to get it here.
Yeah, either way, it was a stage issue. So, like, that's
– I know. But she still got the mayor calling her out and whatever. You know, Nelly played. I'm just saying, Nelly played. You know, it was getting hot in there last night. He still played.
That's good. That's good, Metal Chris. 1-800-636-1067. Is that your favorite Nelly song, Metal Chris?
I probably only know a few. I think Ride With Me is probably the other one I know.
Wow. 1-800-636-1067. Two things that we're chewing on right now when it comes to the Washington Wizards. YahooSports.com has them selecting Trey Johnson out of Texas with the number 6 overall pick. And then at number 18 overall, they have them taking Colin Murray-Boyles, the forward, from South Carolina at number 18 overall. Do you want them to stick and pick at 6 and 18, and would you want them to trade up? If they do trade up, who do you want them to trade for? And the second part is this. Yahoo Sports and Clutch Points also reporting that, this is a quote saying, also worth noting, around the league there's growing belief that Jordan Poole could be moved either on draft night or later this summer. That potential shakeup adds another layer to Washington's draft strategy and could open up a path for a new backcourt face. Do you want Jordan Poole to remain here in Washington? Do you think he is a part of the long-term future of the Wizards, or should they be looking to trade him this offseason? 1-800-636-1067. Our guy G from the shop tweets at me and says, Poole plays loser ball. I would trade him for 28 grams. Yeah. Look, anybody out there that's critical of, you know, Jordan Poole, I get it, based off of year one. Last year, though, I thought he was significantly better. I thought he actually did show some decent chops defensively in terms of stealing the basketball, playing the passing lane, things of that nature. I agree, though. I mean, he's just got to be a more willing defender, and I think you saw that post-February 1st with all the guys on this team. Once they were able to acquire Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton, you take on that defensive identity. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Bones in Southeast. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Bones?
Morning, my main man, Big L. Shout out to Heavy Metal.
Yes,
and you know what? Man, look, we don't need to do no trading up. So we got a lot of talent on this team, right? The coach has got to do his job, right? And like I said, the talent, the guy that does the talent thing, he got to do his job too. And you spoke about it earlier when you said defense. We need a defensive presence. Because we got some guys that can get up and down the floor. You know what I mean? Then, you know, Jordan Poole, you know, he goes, you know, shoot about 45 times a game.
I'm about to say, Bones, so you said you made the comment about how many shots he takes. Do you think he is a part of the long-term future here?
I mean, he's part of the future for right now, but I don't have him as a long time.
What type of answer is that? He said part of the future for right now.
Yeah, he's part of the future for right now, but check it out. We need Kamon Malawak.
Yeah.
We need Kamon Malawak in there, man, so it can free up Saar and Vucevic and the rest of those guys that are 6'9 and better, you know?
I'm glad you brought up Vucevic, by the way. I think he is someone that they got a lot more opportunity down the stretch last year and play well. Sure. I wonder what his future is here in D.C. As they look to continue to retool this roster. Bones, I appreciate you calling in as always, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Malawak, me and Bones are on the same page with this. Bones has been on this ever since the Wizards lost the draft lottery. Me as well. Malawak is the guy. Like, Malawak is the guy. If you're going to go Malawak at 6, you have the opportunity to set a defensive culture and lay a defensive identity down there by having one of the biggest, longest front courts in all the NBA. Like, I think like that's the dilemma you have here if you're a Will Dawkins and company. You have two first-round picks. So the way I would look at it is I'm, like, stereotyping each pick is the best way that I can put it. With that 6th overall pick, I'm trying to get the guy that's got the most upside. Well, and honestly, at 6, let's put it this way. At 6, when you consider what Washington needs, we keep talking about Jordan Poole being the only guy that can create for himself and others. That's what I want at 6. Who could be a potential franchise-altering talent? Who could be a game-changing star? That's where I'm going at 6. At 18 overall, I want some size. Like, that's the prereq. I need size. Somebody that can help out on the glass, somebody that can help out contesting shots at the rim. Like, that's what they have missed. Rebounding, right? The Wizards have been in the bottom 3 in the past 4 years when it comes to rebounding. So I know Malawak is not some tremendous rebounder, but I definitely think he is worth taking for sure, potentially there at 6. 1-800-636-1067. Tony is in D.C. wants to chime in. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, what's going on, youngest in charge?
What's going on, brother?
I'm gonna parrot the last caller and say that Milo Watch is the pick, and that if you're gonna trade Jordan Poole, trade up from 18 to see if you can get two of maybe the top 10 or two top 15 picks, top 12 maybe. That is the way to go, because you never, this is what I'll tell young people, you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Right.
And Poole's first impression was that he was not a serious basketball player. Talented, but not serious in the fact that he came from a championship organization and then came to the Wizards and was everything you don't want in a leader of a franchise.
See, this is where this is where I push back, Tony, on the Jordan Poole stuff. What was unserious about him last year? Not 2024, but the year prior.
So his first year here, you mean the type of shots and the things that he did was that were not conducive to a winning culture? Like,
I know there
trying
were a
to
couple,
more put on a show?
I know there were a couple of the Kristaps Porzingis play, Tony. That went viral. But here's the thing. He took the same shots this year, brother. Like, he works on those shots. He is a gym rat. He is a professional, bona fide scorer. So that was my thing when people critique the shot selection from that season. He's taking the same shots this year.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how old you were when the Gilbert Arenas and everything, but if you talk to the other young cats that were coming up under Gilbert, they would tell you that they would have been completely different players if they had a different serious leadership within the locker room. And so I would rather send him out and have serious people that you want younger perimeter players to build around, that it's not about the tough shots, but it's about making the simple, easy play in repetition and sacrificing that way in order to build the culture that you want. And he's not, I'm not saying that he would hurt it necessarily. Yeah. However, he's not a foundational piece to it. He's an ancillary piece to where you can bring into a locker room full of veterans like he was at in Golden State, and maybe he can contribute to winning. But I don't think he's the leader that you want in your locker room. So I would say Malawach at 6, trade up from 18, and maybe you can get a Han Kanupo to where you don't think he's very good, but he's a 6'7", sharpshooting a wing who can play off the dribble and off creators. You already have Bub Carrington and a lot of the other young guys on the team. Let them get a year to develop and add size and defense, a shooter, and a ancillary playmaker, and then you're building the bones of a team, because we're 2 years away from being 2 years away, if that makes sense.
Makes
so
ton
you
of sense.
Put a good foundation.
Makes ton of sense. Tony, I appreciate you chiming in as always, man. I appreciate you. Have a good weekend, brother. So, I hear it. And Tony gets me frustrated because of the Jordan Poole convo, but I get it. I anybody that feels that way about Poole, I understand what happened in year one here. My thing is this. He is – and I'm around that team a lot. I went to Capital One a bunch this year, got the chance to – be in that locker room and talk to folks that are, you know, close to the situation there. They love, 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 love Jordan Poole in that locker room. So to act like, and I'm not saying that's what Tony was doing. Maybe he's, I would describe him as a leader. I would. Actually, that's why I push back. Like, I do think he's a good leader. I really do think he's a good leader. When you think about the way he interacts and how I've seen him interact with the young guys and the way they gravitate to him, talking about, you know, Bub and Keyshawn George and A.J. Johnson and Bilal, these guys love Jordan Poole, man. And he is an absolute gym rat that to me is still ascending. He's still a gym rat that I feel like is ascending, and I think it's revealed in the draft with that number 6 overall pick. Do they shy away from taking a Jeremiah Fears or a Trey Johnson because Jordan Poole is still there? Like, is that something they do? 1-800-636-1067. I don't know. My money says that he is a member of the Wizards come the start of the season. But if they get a deal that they simply can't turn down, I think that they'll do it. He's not unmovable, though. That's how I would put it, right? Like, he's not somebody that is untouchable, that is 100% guaranteed that he's going to be here next year. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by our pal Bijan Todd, who covers the Wizards for the Monumental Sports Network. We'll get his thoughts on what the Wiz kids should do with their two first-round picks. Plus, we'll ask Bijan, will Jordan Poole be a member of the Wizards by the start of the regular season? That is next here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Still moving and grooving right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. Tapped into the youngest of Charles Linnell Willingham. I will take you up to 12:30. Nats baseball comes your way at that time. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up with Nats on deck. Game two of a three-game series against the Miami Marlins. It'll be Trevor Williams on the hill for D.C. It is a 105 first pitch. You can hear all the action right here on The Fan. Coming up in about 8 minutes or so, our pal Bijan Todd of the Monumental Sports Network going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on what the Wizards should be doing coming up in the NBA draft. 12 days away. Look at me, an idiot. 12 days away from night one of the NBA draft. That actually gets me off on a tangent here real quick. Chris, and I know what the answer is, money. But why in the hell is the NBA draft now 2 days? They've now made this a two-day extravaganza.
Well, I think Nelly said it best when he said it must be the money.
It must be the money. I don't know how many people watch the second round period, but to think that you're going to dedicate an entire day of coverage to it is laughable. What the NBA may have going for them is there may be blockbuster trades that happen on night one to where night two could just be trade recaps. But I don't know how many people are genuinely interested in who gets drafted in the second round. I'm not sure
too many people are interested, aside from what their own team is doing, and who gets drafted after number 10 in the NBA draft. You know?
I think it's all
about those top picks and movement or involving them, I feel. And unless it's your team picking another number, I don't know how much people care otherwise. Like the average fan, you know?
1-800-636-1067 is the number. If you were the Washington Wizards, do you stick and pick at number 6 overall, or do you trade up and try and get the player of your liking? Knowing the draft track record, they've traded up or traded in the draft each of the first two drafts here in D.C., talking about Will Dawkins and company. In year one, they trade up one spot with Indiana to secure Bilal Coulibaly. Last year, they trade Denny Avdija for the rights to draft Bub Carrington. So if they like a guy, they're going to go out and get him and give up the assets necessary to acquire his services. The question is this time around, if you're the Wizards and you trade up from number 6, who are you trading up for? And then part two of this, Jordan Poole, 26 years of age, coming off of a career season. Is he a part of the long-term future of the Washington Wizards, or is he someone that should get traded this offseason? 1-800-636-1067. Anthony is in D.C. What's going on, Anthony? How you doing, brother, man?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
So I'm going to break this Jordan Poole thing down for you, and then I want to ask you a commander's question if you. So before the Wizards got Middleton and Smart, Jordan Poole was the de facto leader of the team just by him being a starter and having a little tenure in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if all of a sudden 106.7 and Team 980, 27-year-old Danelle Winningham becomes in charge.
Well, Anthony, you know, I told you I'm already in charge, brother.
Yeah.
I better be getting a raise. That's all I'm saying. I better be getting a raise.
So as you hire people, you're hiring people younger than you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those people, without having a Doc Walker or Brian Mitchell or anybody else around, they're going to naturally gravitate to you. So the same premise applies with the Wizards. The young players don't know any better. Jordan Poole is all they know. But
Anthony, this is like my thing with it. Where does this narrative come from that Jordan's not a good leader? He is a gym rat. He is the hardest working dude in that organization. Dude, anybody to a man that you ask has nothing but glowing things to say about him, man. He lives in the gym. He works on his game. It's the reason he takes the shots that he takes, because those are the shots that he practices. I don't know what this like negative connotation, this negative narrative that exists around him amongst our fan base is like. It's almost like it's puzzling to me.
He may be a gym rat, but come on, you've seen him play. Jordan Poole is not Steph Curry. That's his problem.
He's Steph Curry light. I mean, look at some of the shots he hits, though, man. Think about how efficient he was this past year. It's not like he's just out there jacking, Anthony.
Who would you rather have? Would you rather have Jordan Poole leading your team or SGA?
Oh, come on. That's not a fair question. I mean, obviously, Shea.
Why would not?
One guy is clearly better than the other, but there's this narrative surrounding Jordan Poole that I don't think is necessarily fair based off of what he showed this past year, man. Like, this was a good year for him overall.
Okay, we agree to disagree on that. So let me get to the commander's question real quick. So I'm sure you've heard Brian Mitchell reference the combine as T-shirt and panty Olympics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some variation of that. So, in all honesty, how do you equate OTAs? Is it just a notch above the combine?
Are you talking about the actual on-field work or just being there, period?
No, the actual work, is it does it equate to anything, or is it just a slight step above of the combine? Is what I'm trying to figure out. What value is there in the OTAs other than maybe memorizing some plays and some camaraderie?
Because I think
people make a lot of noise about, oh, such and so is doing this play and that play. To me, until you get to training camp, it's all fluff.
I agree. I agree. I think it's bigger partially because of the media. But, like, that's what I think fans need to understand. Like, this is a job for us. Just like you all go to work and have to put food on your table, I've got to come up with intriguing content that gets people engaged. So, yes, I'm going to talk about OTAs. But in reality, no, it's not the end-all, be-all. There's not a whole lot you could take from it. But I think if you're really paying attention, there are things that you pick up on. There are tendencies, trends, etc., in terms of how guys are going to be used during the regular season. But the bigger picture point is, I think it's a media, it's a thing that's become bigger and more significant because of the media. And knowing how much we all love football, isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, it's a good thing, but I mean, you have to admit sometimes people get carried away, because, I mean, when you start hyping up seventh round picks, and not saying that's what you're doing or anybody else doing, but just in general, when you start hyping seventh round picks, come on, man. It's team graveyards with picks four and below all over the NFL of people that don't make it just because they four, fifth round, sixth, seventh round picks.
And at the end of the day, sometimes your talent is what your talent is. Anthony, we're up against the clock, so I gotta let you run, my man. I appreciate you as always, man. Have a good weekend. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We will get back into the Washington Wizards coming up on the other side of the break. What will they do coming up in 2 weeks in the NBA draft? Bijan Todd of the Monumental Sports Network joins us next to give his thoughts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. About an hour left to go in the program before we hand things over to our coverage and Nats baseball. They play game two of a three-game weekend series against the Miami Marlins. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up at 12:35 right here on The Fan. A lot more to get to as we ease in to the final hour of the show. We'll get into the burgundy and gold. But right now, though, I want to go out to the Rude Guest Hotline where we find our pal Bijan Todd, who covers the Washington Wizards as well as the NBA draft for the Monumental Sports Network. Give him a follow on the X app at Bijan underscore Todd. What's going on, my brother? Good morning.
Good morning, Linnell. How you doing, man? Good to hear you.
Good to hear you as well, brother. I know you have been hard at work grinding the tape, trying to make sense of what the Wizards are thinking when it comes to this 2025 NBA draft. Really enjoyed you all's convo with Matt Babcock, man. I really have enjoyed his work for the past several years. I'm actually efforting to have him on our show, man, just because he is one of my favorites when it comes to the NBA draft. I want to get into some of what you guys covered with him. Derek Queen at 6. Bijan, please sell me on it. I'll give you my thoughts first, and then you tell me why you're the basketball professional and I'm just a radio host. I look at his I think he can score with the best of them, right? I love Chase Hughes' comp for him, Alperen Sengun. That's because of his offensive game. When you think about the defensive identity that the Wizards are trying to create here in D.C., it just doesn't feel like DQ fits that bill. Why would he potentially be a good fit at 6, and do you personally think he'd be a good fit at 6?
Well, thank you for having me on, Linnell, and I appreciate your kind words about our conversation with Matt Babcock. He's the best. Yeah. But for Derek at 6, I honestly think it might be a little bit of a reach myself, just because if you're going to take a guy in the top 6, you need to kind of check off more boxes, I think, than Derek checks off. Because, you know, he's 6'10", he's gigantic, but he really doesn't play that much defense. And are you going to take a swing on a guy at 6 who does not defend at a high level? Now, the fit with Alex Saar is interesting, right? Because Saar's a defender. He can protect the rim. He's a post presence. So you pair a guy like Derek Queen, who's very good offensively, with a guy like Alex Saar, and you kind of have a good mix there, you know? So it's interesting. The Wizards were, like, I think, 27th in offense last year, so getting a post scorer would definitely be a boost. But Derek at 6, I don't know if he has that kind of value personally. Like, I think he's going to go somewhere in the 7-9 range. Yeah. But it would be an interesting fit in D.C. if he ended up coming here. But I don't know if that's the kind of archetype they're looking for in that kind of slot in the draft. Obviously, I have no insider information on that. That's just me speaking off the cuff. But it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. I think it might be a bit of a reach.
Yeah, I agree with you for all the reasons you listed. When you think about, you know, every time you read the scouting report, right, Bijan, I know you've read plenty over the past couple of months here, and they go strengths and weaknesses. When your weaknesses start on the defensive end, and that's where they start for DQ, I automatically think you're not a wizard in terms of the type of guys that they have drafted here over their first two seasons at the helm. At 18 overall, there are a couple of names that intrigue me. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, in his mock draft 4.0 that he put out on Thursday, had Colin Murray Boyles from South Carolina being the pick at number 18 overall. Knowing what you know about his game, does his skill set and physical profile fit there at 18?
You know, interesting with Colin Murray Boyles, I was actually just doing my deep dive on him yesterday, and he brings an interesting skill set to the NBA. And it's interesting when you talk about a guy at South Carolina who is kind of like, he's a big body, right? He's an interesting prototype. He has an NBA body. He's got great defensive, like, versatility, which is, if we're talking about, like, the Dawkins mold, the Dawkins archetype in D.C., that's exactly the type of guy that they want. And I think that Murray Boyles is going to be available at 18. But, you know, again, the fit in D.C. is interesting. He's not an outside shooter, and that's another thing that I think the Wizards would want. They want a scorer on the team because of the fact that they were bad on offense last year. So that means that he might have a limited ceiling in the NBA, because I think if you can't create your own shot and you're kind of a limited shooter, that kind of limits how good you can be. So if he can improve his offensive game, that would be interesting. I kind of have him compared to like a Draymond Green type, maybe like a Thaddeus Young. Okay. And that would be an interesting kind of person to bring to D.C., I think. That's that defensive mentality that we were talking about. That's the kind of player that they want to bring here. That's just what they want to do. They want to be a defensive first kind of team. But again, you just need scoring, right? And I don't know if that's the kind of pick that they would want to bring into D.C. I think that the Wizards might want to favor scoring in this draft because of the fact that that's something that's a glaring need for them. But again, you know, you can never have enough defenders, and I think that's something that the Indiana Pacers are proving to us right now. Like, having defenders down the roster is a very good thing for sustained success.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. And the scoring is needed. I feel like right now, I guess Chris Middleton fits that bill as well, but really Jordan's the only guy, you know, on the Wizards that can consistently create for himself and others. So getting another guy that can, you know, penetrate and beat guys off the bounce and allow you to play easy drive and kick ball is paramount. If they go Trey Johnson or VJ Edgecombe at six, what do you think happens to the logjam that they have right now in the backcourt? Would you project that someone gets moved on draft night to make way for a guy at six that's a lead guard?
See, that's where it gets interesting, right? Because I think the Wizards are going to want to bring in a scorer like we were talking about, and then you do have that issue with Poole, Bub Carrington, A.J. Johnson, all these other guys in the backcourt. And I think that's where it gets interesting. I personally don't think the Wizards would necessarily move any of those guys in order to free up space for a guard. Because I know, like, we all know that the Wizards love Bub, right? And they really like A.J. Johnson. They really wanted A.J. Johnson when they made that trade with Milwaukee. So I don't think necessarily they move on from those guys after 1 year to make room for a rookie who's not been proven yet. It is an interesting question, though. Like, do you maybe not draft a guard for that exact reason? Do you maybe try to go for a big at six in order to leave your guard room the way it is? Do you go for, like, a Kaman Malawach or a Con Knipple or a guy like that? So it's an interesting question. I personally don't anticipate them moving anybody, and again, that's not any insider information. But it's a good question by you, and I think that's something to monitor as the draft gets closer, because we really haven't heard any chatter in the NBA world about trades or anything like that yet. So if things start to pick up this week, heading into the draft next week or 2 weeks from now, excuse me, then you know we'll keep that situation in mind, because it'll be an interesting kind of dynamic in DC if they decide to keep all their guards, and then how do you dole out playing minutes from there? You know,
joined right now by our guy Bijan Todd of the Monumental Sports Network. Give him a follow on the X app at @BIJAN_Todd. I mean, you could just go up to knock on Will's office door and say, what are you thinking, brother? And then you can come right back and tell us and give us the scoop first and foremost. So this is kind of like an off-topic question, and it goes back to what you kind of just alluded to about there not being a whole lot of information. You've been around this regime. You were around the previous regime. Is there a difference in terms of how this group maneuvers? It doesn't feel like there are a whole lot of leaks that have come out of this building since Mike Winger and company have gotten to town. Is that something you notice? And, you know, how do you think that has been – do you think it's purposeful? That's, I guess, how I would put it.
They're very tight-lipped, and I think that's a good thing. I do think it is purposeful. I think they don't want anything to get out before they confirm it. And one thing that's interesting is that we were talking to a player – I can't remember who it is, so you have to forgive me, but it was a player who just came to the team last year, so it was one of their new arrivals. And we asked, you know, what's different about being D.C.? What do you like about it? What do you like about the organization? Might have been Malcolm Brogdon, actually. And he was like, you know what I love about this organization is the fact that, like, communication with the players is tippy-top. Like, nothing gets leaked to the press or to anybody before we hear about it. Like, Will and Michael talk to us first before anything gets done. You know, we're not blindsided by anything. They make a point of telling us before anything happens. And I think that's a good way to operate. I think that's how organizationally every team in the NBA and every sports team, honestly, should be. But to your point, yeah, I think they're very they're tight-lipped for a reason. They don't want anything to slip out from inside their ranks. So that's why we don't know about any trades or anything until it gets reported. So, no, it's interesting. And I think that is something that they've taken a big, you know, it's a big emphasis around the team for sure.
I think they'll be better off for it in the long run, Bijan. You don't want to have all your dirty laundry out in the streets. We've seen that for years with this organization, which is actually
Yes, we have.
That's why I think it's so refreshing what Will Dawkins and Mike Winger, Travis Schlenk and company have brought to this organization. We briefly mentioned Jordan Poole, and me and you have had this conversation before, and I think I'm pretty sure I know where you stand. But can you just, because you're on social media just like I am, you read the press clippings and you read the toxic cesspool that is Wizards Twitter. Based off of what you hear, what you read, how would you summarize Jordan Poole's reputation amongst the fans here in D.C.?
I think Jordan Poole is becoming very much loved by the fans in D.C. because if you're an actual fan of the team and you watch a lot of Wizards games, which I understand is a tall order when they win 18 games a year, but if you watch the Wizards consistently, you can see different things that Jordan Poole does that is really he's a leader, right? Like we were talking last year about how he moved his locker right next to Bilal Coulibaly so that he can kind of take him under his wing and teach him how to be in the NBA. Every time the Wizards are playing and they're losing, you can see him going up to guys like Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, and like calming them down, telling them, you know, everything's going to be all right. Just play your game. You'll be fine. And I think the fact that he's still in his mid-20s, like he's 25, 26 years old, and he's a bona fide scorer, like he's a bucket, and he's a leader, and he's a very down-to-earth guy. I don't see any reason why his reputation among Wizards fans would not be like sterling. Like he should have a good reputation among the fans because that's he is a great dude, and he's a really good player too. And I think it's an invaluable asset to have in the NBA when your best player is so young and still willing to be that kind of veteran voice for the young guys, even though he's only in his mid-20s. So he has a good reputation, I think. I think he should. But, you know, like you said, it's Wizards Twitter, man. You can't predict anything these people are going to say.
No, and we talked about it before we brought you on. I mean, anybody that wants to ship him out of here is crazy. I think, one, he's Washington's best asset right now, and two, I think, like you said, at 25, he can for sure be a part of the long-term future here in D.C. We'll see what happens, though. There are rumors that say he may get traded on draft night. As we just debunked, though, right, Bijan? No Wizards rumors are to be believed because they don't talk to anybody. Bijan, we appreciate you giving us some time, as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Appreciate you, Leon. Speaking of leaving takes, man, I need you to give me the inside scoop on Brown. I haven't heard anything on him.
Yeah, it was tough, man. So I was out there Wednesday, and he went down during 7-on-7, and then this is where it was really tough. To get into the locker room, you have to go over a little small speed bump, and you're on a cart. You know how floors and concrete are built.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he hit the bump, man, I've never heard an audible noise like that from a player. You could tell he was in a lot of pain. Because this is this part of the offseason where injuries are not required to be reported, I don't think we're going to know about Noah Brown for a long, long time. So,
man, no Noah and no Terry yet. I'm starting to get a little nervous, but I know they're gonna. It's Adam Peters. He's got everything under control.
He'll figure it out at some point. Bijan, we appreciate you making some time for us, though, man. Enjoy the weekend, brother.
You too, Linnell. Talk to you soon, man.
Yes, indeed. One of the absolute best talking all things Washington Wizards. My guy Bijan Todd of the Mighty Metal Sports Network. Give him a follow on the X app at Bijan_Todd. Slowly but surely, coming to the tail end of this program here on this Saturday afternoon. We will take a quick timeout when we come back. A lot more to get to, including the latest on RFK 2.0. That is next here on The Fan. Big thank you to our guy Bijan Todd of the Mighty Metal Sports Network copping on with us. If you missed any of that convo, you're in luck. Download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to the 1140 segment to hear my conversation with Bijan Todd of the Mighty Metal Sports Network, talking all things Washington Wizards. I'm glad Bijan has some common sense. Any fan out there, and this is where I get mean, any idiot out there trying to trade Jordan Poole, like, just relax. Just relax. I understand that year one of him in D.C. was not very pleasant. And think about it. If you would have got punched in front of all of America, would you do your job, you know, as good? Right? If I got knocked out by somebody, you think I'd be as good of a radio host? Probably not. There's a confidence issue that comes with public embarrassment. And I think Jordan Poole, shout out to him, really good job overcoming it, man. Really good job overcoming it and not letting, you know, that stop him from putting in the work and coming back stronger and better in 2024. And that's exactly what he did. If I had to put money on it, I think Jordan Poole is still a member of the Wizards by the time the regular season starts. I firmly believe that. I think, and maybe this is because I'm a little bit closer to the situation than some others. I'm at Cap One Arena a lot. I'm around a pretty decent amount. They love Jordan Poole in that organization. Like, he is... If you remember Will Dawkins, the GM, his end-of-season media availability, I think told the exact story in the entire story of just how they feel about Jordan Poole. Like, they love JP. They feel like he is a cat that is a leader for them. He's a cat that can grow and develop in their system. And I think in terms of, like, personality and marketability and getting people to want to come out, he sells tickets. He's box office. Now, I understand it, right? He's no Steph Curry. And it's not a shade to Jordan Poole. I called him the great value Steph Curry. Which I know great value. That's Walmart brand, right? He's not Steph, but you see the vision in how he plays. I think he is creative, or as creative offensively as anybody in all of the association. We'll see, though, whether or not he's a member of the Wizards. My money says he is. The big question is, who do the Wizards draft at 6-18 overall? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Half hour left to go in the program. We'll talk all things burgundy and gold to close the show out when we come back and update on RFK 2.0. That is next right here on 106.7 The Fan. And we're now losing our Team 980 as audience. Stretch Ron here with the youngest in charge right here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll take you up to 12:30 before we hand things over to our coverage of Nats baseball game 2 of a weekend series against the Miami Marlins. Nats fell yesterday to Miami after a 2-hour-and-14-minute rain delay.
Technically this morning.
Technically this morning. They fell after a 2-hour-and-14-minute rain delay. It was a tough outing for our guy Mitch Parker, giving up 6 runs in just 3 1/3 inning. The Nats had a rally, but ultimately couldn't shut the door and seal the deal. They were trying to right their wrongs coming up this afternoon. It is a 1:05 first pitch. Pregame coverage gets rolling right here on The Fan at 12:35 as Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler bring the Nats on deck. Final half hour of the program. I want to get into the Washington Commanders coming up here. But before we do that, Kelvin and Clinton wants to chime in on the conversation we were just having surrounding Jordan Poole. Kelvin, do you think Jordan Poole is a part of the long-term, solution for the Washington Wizards?
Well, you know what? I got first of all, thanks to Nell for taking my call.
For sure,
man. I got 3 words, man, describing Jordan Poole. He is uncoachable. That's all. That's where. And this Wizards team right now is very familiar to the Wizards team when Gilbert Arenas was running things, and Gilbert Arenas wasn't serious about winning basketball. He was more serious about showing his abilities, and that's the same position that Jordan Poole is in right now.
So you think you can't move forward with him as a leader?
No, not with the young guys that you got on the team right now. And what the reason why the young guys like him so much is because he does everything foul. He don't follow the coach's orders. He's out in the basketball court basically playing neighborhood basketball.
I mean, but you got to admit, I mean, he's super skilled though, man. Like, I get people.
Oh, yeah.
Don't necessarily agree with the shot selection. I give him a pass for the shot selection because I know how hard he works. And that is the shots that he takes is the shots that he practices. So I get it. It's not traditional and it's unorthodox at times. I give you that.
That's my only hype with Jordan Poole. He's a talented player, but he can't get within the system. He can't get within the mix of the team. He's the coach, if you ask me.
Kelvin, real quick before we let you go, they pick – at number 6 overall, do you want them to stick and pick at 6, or should they trade up in the draft? And if so, who are you trading up for?
I think they can get 2 above-decent ball players at 6 and at 18. Bring those players to the team, coach them up, get them within the system, and the team will be vastly rebuilt.
We'll see if it happens, man. I think they end up trading up at some point. But, Kelvin, I appreciate you as always, man. That's what will be fascinating to me. Like, do they stick and pick at 6-18? Do they package 6-18 together to move up? Jordan Poole was talked about in or referenced as a potential trade candidate. Someone else has been referenced as a trade candidate is Corey Kispert, and I'm curious to see whether or not they actually pulled the trigger on a deal to move Corey Kispert. The more and more I think about it, the assets that the Wizards have, depending on who the team is. We appreciate the call. Kelvin's still on the line. Thank you. So, I don't know. It's tough to wrap your head around it all the way because you don't really know their thought process because they don't leak anything out. So any rumor you see surrounding the Wizards, notice none of the credible reporters have Wizard leaks, right? There's no Wizard leaks coming from Josh Robbins. There are no Wizards leaks coming from David Aldridge. There are no Wizards leaks coming from Shams Charania, right? Like, people understand in amongst NBA circles, people understand amongst NBA circles that, look, like, this is a front office that ain't really, you know, spilling tea. This is a front office that is keeping things close to the vest. And I think as they get into this trade negotiating season, their ability to keep things coy and play it cool will ultimately, you know, help them out. Let's go to our guy, G from the shop. What's chiming? What's going on, G?
Yeah, I know y'all trying to get to that football talk, but, like, Lunell, yes, Jordan Poole is super talented. You talking about he a gym rat? You supposed to be a gym rat, man. That's your job, man. Young and love basketball, but he do a lot of stuff basketball-wise, one-on-one. He don't make nobody better. He can't play the point guard. He plays loser basketball. I watched him score 40-something points against Cleveland Cavaliers this season in person, and I'm telling you, he had about 17 shocked in the full moments. If you keep him as your cornerstone, you will perennially win 13 games to 18 games. That's the best you can do. I really hope Jordan Poole is watching Andrew Nembhard play because that's the role he needs to embrace to be an effective NBA player and play winning basketball.
I saw when you tweeted that earlier. I'm glad you brought up Nembhard. First of all, his brother going to get drafted in the second round too, G. I don't understand how you could watch – because Nembhard was a second-round pick, talking about Andrew. His brother's getting ready to be a second-round pick. Don't the executives see, like, it's something in their blood. There's no reason I'm still taking him in the second round. But to your point, Nembhard, Nesmith, McConnell, you're saying take a defensive-minded approach. That's just not who he is, though.
Nah, I'm not saying defensive-minded. I'm saying the measurables. Okay. I'm saying the measurables. They're the same size, Paul. They do the same things. They skill wise, they are comparable. I don't agree with anybody saying Jordan Poole is way more talented than Nembhard. Nembhard is better on the defensive end. He does all the same stuff that Jordan Poole does, and he plays within his role for the team. You know what I'm saying? And Jordan Poole, that's why he was effective in Golden State. He didn't have to lead. Wasn't no pressure on him. He could come off the bench and jack, you know what I'm saying? But as a leader, nah, he cannot lead no team to no more than 15 wins a season.
So do you all look at, because I'm fascinated by this, because everybody that's called in to this point has said the same thing. You all blame Jordan Poole for them not playing defense?
I blame the people that constructed their team, but at the same time, they constructed their team to tank. They wasn't trying to win. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, they might have liked Jordan Poole more than they liked Kuzma, but Kuzma had way more trade value than Jordan Poole. And that's why you really ain't heard no noise about people wanting to trade for Jordan Poole. They waiting on the Wizards to give him away for a pint of Tito's, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. The NBA knows what Jordan Poole is, and he is not a lead dog. He's a dude that needs to play a role like Andrew Nembhard. That's what I'm saying.
And that's why – so let me throw this hypothetical out. We were going to get to this. The Sixers have the number 3 overall pick. Jordan Poole, I think you could agree, is best suited on a contending team. You add Poole to the mix in Philadelphia, and you would say that they are a contender. Is that something that you think the Wizards should be on the phone trying to do? Because – I'm going to admit this, right? And this is where this is me peeling back the curtain, being just a real dude. I talk to Jordan Poole at length every time I go to a Wizards game. He has been a super stand-up dude to me, so I can admit I got a little bit of a soft spot bias towards him. I just don't see them moving on from him, considering how young he is. His contract, considering what he brings you, is one of the best in the NBA, so – I know the first year sucked, but last year he was a little better.
No, I agree with you, and I'm glad that you got boots on the ground and you're getting to know these dudes. And I always been a Jordan Poole fan because I'm a Michigan basketball, I'm a Michigan football fan. I'm a Michigan Wolverine fan. I've been watching him since he was there. And I love his skill set, but I love winning basketball, and he sometimes does not play good basketball to get your team the W. And you talking about in terms if he go to Philly, I don't believe in Philly to do nothing, no matter who they get, because one thing for sure, two things for sure, Paul George and Joel Embiid will be on that IR more than they're on the court.
That's the tough part. G, I appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy your weekend, brother. Happy Father's Day to you as well, man.
I appreciate you, man. That's coming from my son, man. I love you, boy. I
appreciate you, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. The Jordan Poole dialogue here in our nation's capital is honestly polarizing, man. And everybody that calls in and chimes in and gives their opinion on Jordan Poole, you make good points. I think a caller earlier said it. You only have one time to make a first impression. And I think his first impression here in the nation's capital amongst these fans is that he wasn't a serious basketball player. Is that fair to Jordan? Probably not. But what do I always say, right? Perception is 99% reality. So Jordan Poole, he gets it. Like I continue to say, I've had, you know, numerous lengthy conversations with him. Even last year when he was going through the rough patch and it felt like everybody was against him, that's really when we, you know, began to really start talking. But, like, he totally understands how important basketball is to this DMV region. He understands the role that he serves here in this DMV region. I think he is a guy that's an ascending player still. He's about to be 26 coming up in next week, I think, is his birthday. He'll set the turn 26. To say that the book is written on him, I don't think is fair. I love the comparison to G from the Shot made, though, man. If y'all not watching these NBA finals, I'm telling you, if you're a kid out there, don't watch Steph Curry and try to emulate your game after him. Watch Andrew Nembhard. I'm glad. That's why G really pay attention to hoops, man. Nembhard, first and foremost, when you come from Gonzaga and you play for Mark Few, you're super well coached. You got all the fundamentals in your game. He had a step back three, was it in game one, that really was just like, man, it was one of those situations where you're like, damn, I didn't know he had that in his game. We're raving about his defense, but his offense has slept on as well. I think the Wizards need that type of player, though. And I think they low-key have it. He just may not be as skilled as Nembhard. And I think that's, you know, Justin Champagne. In terms of unheralded guy that does the dirty work for you, we all rave about how well he rebounds for a guy that's 6'5". Like, that's the thing that every championship team needs, is those role players that are willing to do the things that nobody else wants to do, do the dirty work, and honestly make those winning basketball plays, man. And I think Andrew Nembhard has done that ad nauseum for the Indiana Pacers. I wanted to get to this RFK thing. Mark Seagraves of NBC4 just does a tremendous job, first of all. One of the best investigative reporters that we've ever seen. 4 days ago, Mark Seagraves got thrown out of a D.C. council meeting where they were discussing removing RFK from the language of the D.C. budget. This statement came out on June the 10th, 4 days ago, via a team spokesperson. This is the commanders on any Council of D.C. delay, which was suggested by Chairman Mendelson. We have been clear any delay will prevent us from attracting major concerts, performers, and international events such as the 2031 FIFA Women's World Cup to D.C. That is what's at stake right now for Washington. Here is the statement from a spokesperson. We have been productively engaged in dialogue with council members about this generational opportunity for D.C. and are committed to delivering an incredible home for our players and fans while creating a landmark venue that produces tens of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in new tax revenue. Throughout the process, we have been clear the commanders need a new home by 2030. Any delay will make us unable to deliver on that timeline, as well as prevent us from attracting major concerts, performers, and international events, such as the 2031 FIFA Women's World Cup. This is what is at stake for D.C. and its residents. If the project is delayed, we are prepared to work with the council morning and night over the next 6 weeks to keep this stadium on schedule so we can deliver for D.C.'s future. So a pretty strong statement coming from the Commanders. This is now a statement from D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. She said, if the council wants to approve the Commanders' deal to come back to RFK, the time to debate the merits of the deal is now. A delay sacrifices our exclusive seat at the table in the $2.7 billion in private investments. The Commanders and my team are ready to iron out the details with the council and respond to any concerns. It should be clear, but let me emphasize, if council strips the deal terms or budgeted dollars from the budget, it kills our agreement with Washington Commanders. I know I'm reading a quote there, but the language in that from Muriel Bowser, the best way that I can describe it, is strong. Here is the thing, and this has all been super ridiculous to me ever since this has been discussed. This deal that is being given out by the D.C. council members, to me, by the Commanders, is a sweetheart deal. And if the D.C. council members fumble this, it will be the biggest fumble in the history of D.C. financially. This is the largest private investment that's ever been given out to the city. And you have a chance to really get a significant return on your investment, and you're deciding to play tiddlywinks with the situation because not everybody's on board with it. It's frustrating. 1-800-636-1067. Paulie is in 757. Wants to chime in and talk Commanders real quick. Paulie, what's going on, brother?
Hell to the W, man. What's good, man? I really didn't want to talk Commanders, you know, but I got to get in on this Jordan Poole thing, man. Hey, was you attempting to say trade a lottery pick for Jordan Poole?
Huh? I'm saying as a part of the package deal.
You done lost your fucking mind, Spot. Get out of here, man.
Paulie, hear me out, though. I'm talking about Poole in the sixth pick to Philly. Now, the one thing about the Philly trade, I'm sure you read this, Paulie, because you've been keeping up with stuff. If Philly is to trade out of that pick, and if they were to trade with a team like Washington, Paul George comes along with it because they're trying to get off of his contract. So that's the way I can see it happening. But
Paul George is tainted goods right now.
Well, I don't want him either. I just think he comes with a pick.
He's tainted goods, man. He's tainted goods right now. But I'm going to say this, though. I don't know. Jordan Poole, Paul George, that might be a wash. So I don't know. But Jordan Poole, man, I would take him over Paul George because he still has a higher ceiling. But right now he's a product of his environment. His environment is bad and has no direction. So he's bad and has no direction. I've been saying this for the past since the NBA season ended. Like, the Wizards need a veteran coach. If I'm them, I'm going to get Tibbs, man. I know O'Keefe might be a good guy and all this other stuff, Brian Keefe, whatever his name is. But they need a veteran coach. You got all them young players. They ain't got no direction. They ain't got no tempo. They need a veteran coach. And I guarantee you get a coach in there that got some chops like Tibbs, you'll see Jordan Poole game do a complete 180. Because right now, man, he balling up in Mars right now. And it's a shame because he got the talent, man. But, yeah, man, so.
That's what I'm saying. But Paulie, how can you see the talent? We're up against the clock. We got to take a break. I appreciate you as always, man. Happy Father's Day to you, Paulie. For sure, my brother. 1-800-636-1067. That's – Paulie and Gino had to get me worked up because y'all are sitting there admitting that the boy has the talent, but are acting as if he's holding it hostage. Did y'all not watch him last year? One thing Paulie said, he's a product of his environment. Look, I like Brian Keefe. And to say that he doesn't have chops, man, think about how integral he was in the player development of Durant, Harden, Westbrook. I mean, he's been around the block before. I think he's the right guy for the job in D.C., and I think the young pup's improving is why his job will continue to be safe and secure. 1-800-636 106.7 is number. One final segment to go before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. When we come back, we'll put a bow on things. This is The Fan. One final segment to go before we hand things over to our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. They play game two of a three-game series against the Miami Marlins, hoping for a better result than what happened last night. A two-hour and 14-minute rain delay, all a part of a 11-9 Nats loss to the Miami Marlins. Nats have all of a sudden, after playing a couple of really good series in a row, now dropped six in a row after the loss to Miami. And like I said to start the show, getting swept by New York, talking about the Mets, is nothing to be embarrassed about. You just took two out of three against Seattle. You took two out of three against the Diamondbacks. You had a really good showing against the Cubs. You lost two out of three against New York, but had some good signs. You lost all three against New York. Talk about the Mets, but you had some good signs. Last night was awful. Miami is a team that, quite honestly, you should feel like you're way, way better than. I think the record says as much, and where you're currently at as organization should say so as well. I keep updating you all every time I get on about where the Nats stand in the wild card race. Well, if we're going to lose to the Marlins, better not be mentioning anything about the wild card race. Nats right now, whew, it's getting late early. Nats are 8.5 games out of the final wild card spot in the National League. And that's tough. And I looked at this. It's crazy, right? I was actually talking to our guy Ben Strober earlier during the week, and I said, well, this is a really big opportunity for the Nats because you got back-to-back series against Miami and Colorado. That's a chance to win seven straight ball games if you handle your business. And Ben told me at the time, hell no, they're not going to win seven in a row. And boy, was he correct. They've actually lost six in a row and are currently reeling. So we'll see if, you know, Trevor Williams and company are able to have a better outing coming up here this afternoon. But, yeah, they're not in a good space. It's crazy because before the game yesterday against Miami, it's crazy how in baseball one game can really change the way you feel about a situation. There was an article that came out in The Athletic either yesterday or the day before, and they were talking about the Nats potentially being buyers at Major League Baseball's trade deadline. And the thought was them going out and getting another legit starting pitcher. There's a loss to – I don't know. Obviously, we're a long way away from the trade deadline, right? I get it. But at some point, if you are the Nats here, you got to earn the right to be buyers at the trade deadline, right? Like, if you want everyone to talk about you as being a contender, and that was the talk coming out of spring training, is that, oh, you know, this group is ready to compete this year. Like, this group is ready, you know, to take that next step, despite what, you know, folks outside the organization may think. They are primed and ready, you know, to take that step forward. And I kept saying it coming out of spring training, where do they have to be at the trade deadline in order for them to be considered buyers? And in order for Mike Rizzo to, you know, be inclined to pick up the phone and go out and try and improve the roster, I don't think they're in that spot right now. I think right now you're 8.5 games back and we're about a month and 2 weeks away from the deadline, about 6 weeks away. A lot can happen in 6 weeks, obviously. I understand that. But at some point you got to show a glimmer of promise, a glimmer of hope to make Mike Rizzo want to do that. And otherwise you're going to be sellers, and a guy like Nathaniel Lowe could be on the move, right? Someone that's played really well for you, a veteran that's come in here and giving you a lot. You have a log jam in the outfield. Does that allow you to, you know, make a move and acquire a piece? A lot to chew on, a lot to decipher over if you are the Washington Nationals. It's just tough because last night, I don't know, maybe I'm overreacting to it. I think it completely killed the vibes of, you know, where this team was headed and how we were talking about them heading into last night's game, man. I kept saying it during the week, seven in a row, three against Miami, bottom feeders, four against Colorado, who is also bottom feeders. So we'll see if they're able to get it right. That's going to do it, though. For the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham, I'm back with you tomorrow, 10 to 2 a.m. Eastern time on the Infinity Sports Network. You'll hear it here locally in D.C. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler come your way next. They bring you Washington Nationals baseball.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.